Sixth story, the two friends. Just a warning here. There are images in this story that could, for some sensitive souls, feel quite disturbing. But it's a good story. Here's the introduction. Water is essential for humans to survive, and so is food and friendship.
There were two friends. One was big and the other was small. And together they were skilled at finding water. They travelled across their entire region with their dowsing sticks, seeking water for those in need, and they always found it. Eventually, a time came when they had discovered all the water that there was to find. The farmers were happy, but once water was found, there was no longer any work for the two. One day, the friends heard news that there was a drought in Constantinople, and the people desperately needed fresh water. It would be far to travel for the two friends, but they agreed that they needed the work, so they packed their bags, filled two large bundles with food, and off they set. As they walked, the little friend was struggling with the heavy sack on his back. He tried not to show it, but his big friend could see that he was suffering. The big friend suggested that they should eat the food in the little one's sack to lighten the load, and so they did. By the time they got to the deep, dark forest of the south, the rucksack of the little one was empty, and he was relieved of the heavy burden of all that food. He could now easily follow the speedy footsteps of the big one. When they found a good place to sleep for the night, the big friend sat down and unwrapped some food. The little friend sat next to him, expecting to be given his share. "What are you staring at?" said the big friend. "The food," said the little friend. "I'm hungry. We've eaten all the food in my rucksack. Now it's time for us to eat your share." "I never agreed to that," said the big friend. "But you can have some of my food if you give me one of your eyes." "What?" said the little friend. "You can't be serious. I will not give an eye for your food. I shared my food with you for no price." "Well," said the big friend, "then good night." A week passed like that, with the big friend refusing to share his food. One evening, as they sat down and the big friend was getting ready to eat, the little friend had become desperate. He was weak. He was shaking and his stomach was roaring with hunger. So he said to his big friend, "I'll do it. Take my eye. I just have to eat something." The big friend went over to the little friend with his knife and cut out one of the little friend's eyes. "Now you can have some food," said the big friend. The little one filled his belly with food and felt relief. But in his heart, he felt grief. The next day they walked on, and as they came closer to Constantinople, the little one-eyed friend felt hungry again. But again his big friend would not share his food. "I will only give you food in exchange for your other eye." The little friend couldn't bear the thought of being without sight. But the days passed until the hunger became unbearable. "I have to eat," said the little friend. "I can't stand it anymore. I will let you take my other eye. But you must then guide me to Constantinople." "Very well," said the big friend, who took out his other eye. The little friend ate, and the food felt so good in his hungry belly. But now he was in darkness and was totally dependent on the big friend to guide him. Evening came and they arrived on a hilltop. The big friend told the little friend to sit and rest against a wooden pole that somebody had raised there. The little blind friend couldn't see that it was a gallows that he was leaning on. The big friend said nothing about the town he could see at the bottom of the hill, but he was sure it was Constantinople. "Rest here," said the big friend. I will go and find out how far we still have to walk. I will be back later tonight to help you down the hill. And with that, the big friend left the little friend without any intention of coming back. The little friend could hear his big friend walking down the hill, whistling a tune. But the sound became softer and softer until he could no longer hear it. Then suddenly the little friend heard the caw of three ravens who landed above his head. The first raven shook his feather and said, "Have you seen how the people of Constantinople suffer? Soon we will have to clean the streets, for there will be dead bodies of all kinds. And it is all because the people of Constantinople have forgotten where to find water." The second raven gave a caw, caw, imagining all the inhabitants of Constantinople dying in the streets. "Where is the water?" asked the third raven. "You know the old merchant in the alley next to the palace," said the first raven. "He lives in a house with a courtyard, and in the middle of that courtyard is a large grey stone. Remove that stone and the fresh water will start flowing." "The water coming from that spring is sacred," said the second raven, "especially the first drops of water that come after removing the stone. The water has the power to cure all diseases." "Talking of healing water," said the third raven, "the dew on the grass around this tree has the power to return your eyesight if you have lost it." "Let us fly down and see what is happening in Constantinople," said the first raven. And so the three ravens flew down to Constantinople. The little friend felt the grass under his feet. The grass was too dry to give him the healing water he needed. He lay down in the grass next to the gallows and fell asleep. He woke up at the first light of day, and the grass was wet. He dabbed the dew in and around his empty eye holes, and slowly he could feel his eyes growing back. After a short time, his eyesight had returned, and he could see the city of Constantinople in the valley below. He walked down the hill towards Constantinople to find the old merchant he had heard the ravens speak of. When he found him, he told him that he knew where there was a hidden spring in his courtyard. The old merchant walked with the little friend into the courtyard, where an enormous grey stone lay in the centre. The little friend was certain that this was the stone the three ravens had talked of. "We need men with sticks to move this stone," said the little friend. So the merchant called his servants to come and help. The little friend found three empty water bottles in the courtyard. And when all the old merchant's servants were gathered around the stone, the little friend told them to stand in a half circle and get ready to rock the stone. The men pushed and shouted, and little by little, the stone moved until the first trickle of fresh water began to bubble up from beneath it. The little friend cried, "Stop pushing!" And he hurried to collect those precious first drops in the three bottles. Then he told the men to continue pushing, and soon the stone was completely removed from the mouth of the spring, and the fresh water came gushing out, soaking the men. There were joyful cries of "Water! Water!" And the women came running from all directions with jugs to fill. The old merchant was delighted. He thanked his little friend and asked him why he had filled the three bottles with the first water. "This water is very powerful," said the little friend. "It can cure all diseases." "Do you think it can cure my son's blindness?" asked the old merchant. "I can try," said the little friend. So he was led inside the merchant's house, where he found the old merchant's son sitting in a chair with the windows wide open, listening to the joyful sounds of men and women rushing to collect water. The young man smiled when he heard his father's footsteps. "There is a young traveller from the north who may be able to cure your blindness," said the old merchant to his son. The young man smiled and said, "I would love to see your face, father." The blind son cupped his hand, and the little friend poured some water from one of the bottles into it. Blind son gently bathed his blind eyes with the water, and slowly colours and shapes began to emerge before him. "Father," he said, "I can see." The merchant called for all his servants and some of the women collecting water to witness the miracle. And they all came rushing in, soaking wet from drinking and splashing in the spring, and embraced the merchant's son. The young man turned to his father. "What about my sister?" he said. "When can I see her?" The little friend looked at the old merchant. "What sister?" asked the little friend. "His little sister," said the old merchant. "She is very sick with leprosy, and it has changed her from the beautiful girl she once was to something hardly human. We had to protect her by locking her inside a cage in the inner court. We didn't want anyone to see her. It was too dangerous. You don't know what people in Constantinople do to people who have leprosy." "Maybe I can cure her with this water," said the little friend. "It is worth a try." The old merchant said, "Yes. I will ask one of my maids to follow you to the inner court. I hope you can help her." The little friend followed the maid into the inner court, where there was a cage. It was dark, so the little friend asked if there were some lights to be lit. A hand covered in leprous sores lit a candle inside the cage. When the little friend saw the young woman's face, he couldn't help it. He gasped. It was horrible, full of red open wounds. The little friend said that he was there to help her. She opened the door to the cage, and the little friend told her to pour the water from the bottles on her body to cure herself. He handed her a bottle and turned away. He could hear the sound of her dress dropping to the floor and the water pouring. And after a while, gasps of delight. "It's gone. My skin is clear." And she began to laugh with joy. When the little friend turned around again, the young woman stood right there in front of him with a lovely smile on her face. "Thank you, stranger," said the young woman. "I'm grateful for what you have done. Let us find my father." "He's right here," said the little friend, and called for the old merchant and his son. The family reunion was as happy as one can imagine. The little friend stayed with the family, and after some months, he asked the old merchant's permission to marry his daughter. "That, my friend, you have to ask her about," said the old merchant with a smile. The young woman was more than happy to be married to such a kind and clever young man. The wedding was amazing, and when they all sat around the table, the little friend was asked to tell his story. When he finished his story, all the guests were deeply shocked. "Where is this so-called friend of yours?" they asked him. "I don't know," the little friend said. "He didn't find water for your people in Constantinople, but maybe he's doing well." "That is not the question," the guests explained to the little friend. "He needs to be found, and you can then tell us what punishment he shall endure. They hunted down the big friend, finding him in the poorest part of the city. He was brought before the little friend. The big friend was shocked to see his little friend doing so well. "What shall we do with this man that has made you suffer so much?" "Do what he did to me," said the little friend. So the big friend lost his eyes, and he was placed on the hill next to the gallows. The three ravens landed on the gallows. "Have you heard that everything we talked about last year has come true?" said the first raven. "It's like somebody was listening to what we were saying," said the second raven. "Let us see if he is still here," said the third raven. So they found the big friend, sitting blinded by the foot of the gallows. They began to peck at his flesh, and by the time the guards returned to see him in the morning, nothing was left but a pile of bones.